Well, I am so grateful and honored to be here again this summer and for the whole year now. Very, very excited. And I am so grateful for the warm welcome you gave me last summer, but also this summer as well. I really appreciate all the warm welcome and kindness you've shown me. So this summer, our theme is going to be listening. So you may have heard something during the silent prayer. It wasn't totally silent, was it? There were some noises. There were some wind chimes. And so we're going to be listening all summer long. The theme of listening comes out of my plan to listen to all of you and our brothers and sisters throughout the city, inside our church buildings and outside our church buildings. It also comes from our time with Mike Mathers. His talk on listening to our neighbor's gifts really got me thinking. I just remembered I have the clicker. I have the power. All right. Oh, wrong way. In reading and hearing the scripture today, a few things really stuck out to me. This text has about 20 sermon ideas in it, but we're only going to talk about one today. Don't worry. What really hit me this week was verses 10 and 11. It says, "Wherever you go," Jesus said, "stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate." Pretty harsh. Pretty harsh words. If they don't listen, just walk away. Leave them to their fate. Wow. Two thoughts go through my head on this one. First, Jesus probably knew that not every person is ready to journey with God at the same time and in the same way. Each human being journeys with God in a unique way. The key is to remember that God is always ready and waiting for us humans, to engage in a relationship with God. God is always there. It's just up to us to say, "Okay, God, I'm ready." For some of us, we may even be saying, "Okay, God, I'm ready again." So the second part that struck me was, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. This reminded me, and I'm glad there are still young people over here for me to reference this, this reminded me of Taylor Swift's song, Shake It Off. And in Taylor Swift's song, Shake It Off, she says, "The haters are going to hate, and the players are going to play, and I'm going to shake it off." So in other words, don't take it personally. Don't take it personally if the people you are speaking to or listening to are not quite ready to journey with God. Because some people are going to hate and some people are going to play until they're ready to accept God into their life. And I think Jesus was trying to let the disciples know it's up to them to plant a seed, but not take it personally if someone is not yet ready to accept God's love. The key is to keep going, to keep telling the stories, keep sharing God's love. Never stop just because one person does not choose to be in a relationship with God in that moment, in that time. You planted the seed. It's in God's time. Not our time, when a person will decide to journey with God. So I'm going to use myself as an example today. I believe God uses one part of our lives to build into the next part of our lives so we're prepared for the journey. In other words, our purpose may be the same throughout our entire life, or it may shift. It took me a while to truly listen, but I'd like to believe God was using me in each step of the way until I truly listened. When I was 18, I sat in church And while singing the song, I'm going to cry just thinking about it. Here I am, Lord. I started crying uncontrollably. I couldn't stop crying. And I knew I was supposed to do something, but I wasn't sure what that was. So I continued in my 18-year-old life, just doing whatever 18-year-olds do. I went to college to be a high school social studies teacher. And this experience, I learned how to talk in front of a group and to think outside the box so my students didn't get bored, because that can only lead to chaos. I was then married and had my daughter, Anne Marie. There we are at her graduation day just a week ago. I was a stay-at-home mom for most of her life, but almost always had a part-time business on the side. I was a pampered chef consultant for 10 years and worked my way into management. I grew my team to 25 people. And from this experience, I learned how to invite and basically talk with anybody. And I learned not to take it personally if someone said no. And sadly, when I was 32, my husband very, very unexpectedly died of a torn aorta. He was 34 years old, and my daughter was only 8 years old. This made me reevaluate my entire life. I picked up the pieces and decided to get the training to become a life coach. As a life coach, I learned how to listen, truly listen. I also learned how to ask clarifying questions so that I could listen some more. After several years, I decided I needed to get a job with health insurance before Obamacare and a steady paycheck. I wanted to do something similar to life coaching because I loved it so much. I thought it would be fun to work at a college with students, working with students to help them figure out what they wanted to be when they grew up or how to shift their personal lives to feel more fulfilled. So I sat at the computer to Google whatever degree I needed to do this to be qualified for the work in this field. As I sat there researching degrees and schools to get the degree, I literally felt a slap upside my head and heard God vividly say, "If you are going back to school, you are going to seminary to become a pastor." I kind of freaked out, and then I finally did as I was told. There had been many nudges and whispers from God, whether it be from God directly or from people I interacted with, that I needed to become a pastor, but I wasn't ready. Here I am with my family at my graduation day in May. People missing are my sister-in-law, well, several of my sister-in-laws, and my mother-in-law. But you can see everybody else. Nieces, nephews, brother, parents, my daughter with the glasses. She's a 1960s hippie born in 1997. So you can see she has a tie-dye dress on and big sunglasses. And here I am today. I have many, many more stories, but we'll talk about those on another day. I know this is an extreme story of listening and not being ready, but it can easily translate to any person who is not quite ready for a relationship with God. We just need to keep sharing God's love and listening for people's gifts and not their imperfections. Why do you think Jesus instructed his disciples to stay in the same place until they left town? So that they could build relationships with the people they stayed with. Is it possible that the best way to share God's love is by recognizing people's God-given gifts so that they can live out their God-given purpose? What gifts do our brothers and sisters among us and around us have that we may not be aware of yet? How are we to look at people's gifts and not their imperfections? We all have imperfections. I'm sure all of you can nod your head now. We all have imperfections. As John Wesley, one of the founders of Methodism, would say, we are all moving toward perfection. Are we to not only listen to God, but to God's imperfected people? Are we missing the mark when we see people's imperfections instead of their gifts? Have we been doing all the talking and judging and forgotten to listen? Are we even listening? As we talked with the children today, the children tried to listen to each other even with all the noise. I'd say through the noise, they tried really hard to listen to each other and hear what they did well. What if the noise we need to listen through is our judgment, is our baggage, is our preconceived idea of being church or preconceived notion of being Christian? What if the noise is something we all need to listen through? What if we need to listen through the noise of our judgment of a person who may be living in poverty, or our judgment of a person's age, or a person's clothing, or a person's race, or a person's gender, or a person's ability, or a person's gender identity, or a person's sexual orientation, or a person's criminal record, or a person's past, or a person's addiction, or even the judgment of a person's living situation? How could we better share God's love if we were able to listen through all the noise of our own judgments and work to listen to people's God-given gifts? Because what if sharing God's love is not about handouts, but about listening for a person's God-given gift and letting them share that gift with us and with the world? What if we need to continue to know we are just a part of a person's journey with God? This part may be the beginning, the middle, or the end of a person's journey. But that's not up to us. We are only asked, as the first disciples were asked long ago, to keep interacting with people, whether they are ready in that moment or not. Keep interacting. Keep building relationships. Keep listening. And keep sharing God's love. So, are we ready to listen through all the noise? Are we ready to listen to our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, through all the noise, in spite of all the noise? Are we listening?